Father, we want to look into your word. We want to continue to realize that you are good and how much you really love us. And that we can trust you and we can worship you. And God, I pray that for every one of us here, no matter what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, even in our bodies, God, I pray that you would just draw us closer to you. You love us. You are good. And we worship you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Worship is both big and bold, yet quiet and personal. Worship is both big and bold, and yet quiet and personal. I remember having a conversation, and it really encouraged me. In my journal this morning, I have an online electronic journal, and they always give a prompt. And the question was, what's a conversation that you've had that you really remember that mattered to you? And I was walking through Costco. Usually Judy and I go together, but for whatever reason, I had to pick up a few things. And I'm always scanning the crowd. I go in a mall. I'm a people person. You haven't figured that out yet. So I'm scanning the crowd. So I've gone through the checkout line, and I'm going past, you know, the hot dogs and the pizza, and I'm not having any, but I'm just scanning. And all of a sudden, there's a couple there that I knew from previous church. And so I just went and sat, they're an older couple, and I went and sat beside them, and sat beside her and said, oh, I just love poutine. They have poutine at Costco as well. And what? Oh, Tim! So it was a really neat conversation. And we were having in this conversation, and she mentioned that she was talking to a friend of hers was critical, that in that moment was critical of me and how I was doing ministry in a previous church. And she responded to her, told me the conversation, which really encouraged me. She said, you know what, Pastor Tim just wanted us to love Jesus like he does. Pastor Tim just wanted us to love Jesus like he does. I'd never thought of it that way. I'd never thought that that's what my ministry underlying was. I go, that was such an encouraging conversation. And I carry that through. I just want us to love Jesus. Similar, and sometimes like I do, but I just want us to love Jesus. We are invited to a life of more meaningful worship, of forever worship. And I was thinking earlier this week as I was working on part two of this series, I'm going, why do I need worship? I need worship because I need someone who's beyond me. I need someone in my life that's bigger than me. I need someone that's bigger and awesomer and beyond me. Friends are great, the church is great, and humans are great. But sometimes and often, I need something bigger. I need someone bigger. God loves you and me. He really does. And when we think about worship, I'm thinking about the word, as I was driving the bus this week, all of a sudden the word just came to my mind. Come. It's often, most often, the invitation in the scriptures of come. Come, he says, let us reason Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Come. Psalm 96, come, the psalmist writes, as if God's saying, come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are His people. He watches over the flock. As Brandy shared, He watches over each of us in our situation. Psalm 100, enter, come. Come into His house with thanksgiving. Come into His courts with praise. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Come, and I will give you rest. Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, as the disciples were saying, ah, Jesus doesn't have time for you. No, no, no. Come, bring the children to me. Come, follow me. Come, follow me, He said to His disciples, and He said to the masses, come. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, will never be thirsty. Anyone who is thirsty may come. Are you catching the theme? What's the theme? Come. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Look, he says in Revelation, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So he's inviting us to come, but he's saying here in the book of Revelation to a church, he's saying, you open the door, I will come to you. Why does it matter? God always asks this question, why? Why does it matter? We are in danger, the church across North America, maybe around the world, we are in danger of a yawnful. Everybody yawn together. I did this last week, and then you continued, you know. We are in danger of a yawnful Christian experience. As humans, we have a tendency towards laziness, forgetfulness, and disobedience. And this can cause disillusionment in our faith, lack of excitement that could be a great witness to others. I'm going to say the five-letter word again, COVID. Because what happened is, out of COVID, a lot of people sat around thinking, I guess I don't need church. I did well without it through this season. I don't need church. I don't need other Christians. I don't need worship. You know why? I think one of the reasons why a lot of people have checked out of their faith is because they had that yawnful experience. It didn't actually matter to them. They missed this bigger, this beyond. They missed this worship. If we go to, and I'm going to remind you what we talked about last week. In Mark chapter 12, one of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to the debate that Jesus was having with some Sadducees, some religious people. And he realized that Jesus had answered well, and so he said, of all the commandments, which is most important, what is it? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The most important. The most important. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and the only God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. He didn't just read it. He spoke it. I believe Jesus spoke it passionately. Because who is Jesus? He's God. And he said, I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is equally important. The same. Love God, and the same level, love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And then he goes, and I'll take you again to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, gotta find it here. Where did I go? Oh yeah, here. Verse 25, one day an expert in the religious law. See, an expert. He was an expert. You know what an expert is? It's a water hose that used to spurt. That's bad. Okay, I won't use it again. Okay. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him the question, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He's an expert in the law. What do I do to get eternal life? Jesus answered with a question. I love that. See, earlier he answered the question, but this time he turned it back to him and said, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? How do you read it? The man answered, you must, and probably, and I said, I did the same tone last week. Yeah, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right! Exclamation point. Jesus told him, do this, and you will live. Do this. Do. It's a do. It's an action. It's an action. Now, the interesting thing is, he asked, what do I do to inherit eternal life? But did you ever think about it? That actually, eternal life begins the moment. It begins the moment you invite Jesus into your heart. The moment where you come to God and say, I am so sorry. I'm a sinner. I am dead in my sin. I have sinned against you. I have hurt you. Would you please forgive me? And then 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The song, the first song we sang, I think it was the first one. As far as the east is from the west. Have you ever thought about that? How far is the east is from the west? If you go east, will you ever hit west? If you go north, will you ever hit south? Yes. And if you go south, will you ever hit north? But if you go east, will you ever hit west? Everybody go. That is bizarre. And he has separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's incredible. Eternal life begins the moment we invite Jesus into our hearts. We have passed, the scriptures say, from death to life. We're into life. We're into eternal life right now. It's not just there. We're getting there. But it's now. Now, I want us to explore how we as humans worship. Unfortunately, we have a one or two-dimensional understanding and experience of worship. I want us to realize that we live in 3D. And even in our relationship with God, can be and should be 3D. Do you ever feel guilty because of traditional quiet time that I often talk about, and people often talk about, doesn't cut it for you and me? Are we increasingly frustrated with a one-size-fits-all spirituality that most definitely doesn't fit us? In our experiences, and that's what I really want to help us with last week and this week, in our experience, I think most of us could say we're not happy with our Christian life. We're not happy. I know we are, but there's moments when we're not happy and we're going, something's missing. And if we push ourselves, we might say, I'm not happy with worship in my life. This isn't a criticism. It's just sometimes we feel that. But we don't have to despair. Scripture and the history of Christian tradition for 2,000 years reveal a remarkable diversity in personal devotional styles. Don't feel that you have to choose one, but most of us are a blend of worship styles. And many of us will move in and out of certain temperaments as we age. The important thing is not to find the right label. I'm coming to the terms, the labels. But to understand how you and I can best connect with God so that we can more deliberately and consciously cultivate an increasing love for our Creator. A love for God. God has created each of us with a specific design. Can you say, I am unique? I am unique. You are. I can't fathom that in this world of billions of people from the beginning of time to now, like, and everyone is different. Every single one. Now, I've sometimes noticed doppelgangers. Do you know what doppelgangers are? They're kind of people that look exactly like you, but from a different part of the world or life, but they almost look exactly like you. I was somewhere with a bunch of people, and I saw this young girl that looked exactly like my granddaughter. Like, that's their doppelganger. Like there's somebody exactly, but nobody's the same. Snowflakes, did you know that? Snowflakes are never the same. I don't know how they figured that out, but they did. Our fingerprints are all different. Did you know that? I think you knew that. Our DNA is completely different from anyone else. We have all been created with temperaments, personalities, and any personality test evaluation that we can use. We will certainly bear similarities with other believers, but we most celebrate the creative quality of God when we give ourselves permission to seek His face in a way that honors His creative design. Let's not pigeonhole ourselves or explore multiple ways and change over time as well. And may I suggest that the way we worship as a corporate church, our style is different than any other church. It is. You can't go into another church. Each church, somebody said, each church has its own thumbprint of God. You will not find another Rosenberg Community Church anywhere in the world. This is unique. Isn't that great? We're special. Now, on your tables, I want you to grab the nine temperaments. Each person grab one. And we've got extras around the different tables. But I want you to grab one, and I want you to follow. I'm going to take you quickly through here. Then I'm going to give you a little bit of time around your tables to talk about it. Because this is my thing. I don't ever want us, and that's why I do the application and reflection at the end of every message that I give. I don't want us to walk out of here going, wow, that was a fun message, or that was a bad message, or that one sucked, or I didn't like that one, or that didn't mean me. I want us to be able to walk out, regardless of what we do here, to walk out and say, what's one thing I can do as I leave this place? One thing I can do this week towards loving God, or loving others, or both. Now, I want you to follow along here. Now, Gary Thomas, in his book called Sacred Pathways, talks about nine different pathways or temperaments. And I love this, because he talks about pathways in some ways of, of how God has created a path for each. I'm not talking about the one way to Jesus. That's different. I'm talking about our relationship, our pathway from God to us, and the pathway back, but also the temperament of how He's made us to then reflect back and to worship God and to love God. He's created nine, it's humanly speaking, but He's given us nine of them. Gary Thomas has given us nine. And so what I want to do is I'm going to quickly try to walk us through this, or run us through it, and then your homework will be that you've got to take some time and look over it and say, okay, who am I? Well, how does this work in my life? And I'd love to sit down with any one of you to walk this through if you want to. So, naturalists. And naturalists are those believers whose hearts I have other notes here. So just kind of follow with me. I'm not reading exactly what's on there, but just give it a little more, okay? Naturalists are those believers whose hearts best soar towards God when they get outside and are surrounded by all that He has made. There's something about being surrounded by God's creation, the beauty of nature, that tends them towards worship and adoration. Trying to pray inside a room with their heads bowed and eyes closed would be one of the least effective prayer or worship styles for them. How many of you love camping? How many of you do a lot of camping? Oh, because you're always here every Sunday. That's right. But if you like being out in nature, that's what I love about our house. This is one of the things we have a nice river in our backyard. We have a nice area of grass and the scenery. I love the scenery. And that's where a lot of people, that's where they can meet God, out in nature. It doesn't matter if it's winter, doesn't matter if it's summer. They just love being outside. If you find that you can't sit still at your desk without falling asleep, or that you're bored trying to comb through devotional books lying in your bed, consider getting outside and using nature to awaken your heart. Even some take their Bible with them and their devotional guide to go out into nature, and they find that it all of a sudden is coming alive. The sun's saved. Number two, the best avenues for some believers to commune with God are the five senses: taste, touch, hearing, seeing, and even smelling. How many of you love a well-prepared, even creative meal? You love your favorite show was the Food Network. I think they're changing it to, it's called Flavor Now. You love it. That's one of those things. You have to touch and feel things. That's why I love my Bible rather than a phone. I want to touch something. The sensing. Just as naturalists are spiritually awakened while walking through a forest, the sensates become spiritually attuned when their senses are brought into play. Majestic music, symbolic architecture, outstanding art, or the sensory experience of communion with dear friends and powerful spirit of spiritual aid. For when we do communion, for some of you, that really means something. There's some churches, which will be, I'll come up to it in the next one, the traditionalists. There's some that some liturgical churches that are in the incense and the touching of things in the auditorium, looking at the auditorium and the cathedral and the chapel. Some people are in that, they need that visual stimuli. They need that smell. They need that experience. That's a sensing. They're traditionalists. These believers appreciate the role of ritual, which builds on the power of reinforced behavior. There's something profound to them in worshiping God according to set patterns, their own or history of that church. For instance, many of you would have been to or may have attended Catholic Church or Lutheran Church or some of those, or I knew one couple that used to attend Freemus Church in Southland, which is a very different style and big and all of that. And they discovered, him and his wife and kids, they are now attending a Greek Orthodox church in Winnipeg. And I sat down with them one time and go, why are you doing that? Like, we have a good thing going here. And I don't know if he could actually put it together, but this man, he needed that tangible, he needed that ritual. I remember many, many years ago as a teenager going with my mom and dad to a Roman Catholic church, because that's their background. And we went for 6 weeks, that's all they could handle. It was interesting. But they had a booklet, and I think they still do. They had a booklet that you followed every week. Prayers, confessions, everything was laid out. And to some people, they just need that tradition. They just love it. We can't criticize. Well, we can criticize maybe some of the theology, but the practice of some of these liturgical churches is what these people need. They need just that really good way of it. That just helps, that settles them. The ascetic. Ascetics meet with God internally. They don't want the distractions of a museum or a group meeting. They prefer to shut out the world and meet God in solitude and simplicity. The ascetic, they just want to meet with God internally. For them, the best environment for personal worship is silence, without any noisy or colorful stimulants. Accordingly, ascetics usually need to get alone on a regular basis. They may prefer solitary retreats, or at least a quiet place rather than a rather orderly environment. They are often advocates of all-night prayer vigils and many of the classic disciplines such as fasting and meditation. Some people need that. Now, let me remind you, and I'll remind you at the end. There are 9 of them here, but we're always a blend. So the ascetic, the worst thing that an ascetic could do is always stay alone and never meet with others. Remember the 2 commandments? Love God and love people. They're together. They're equal. So an ascetic can't be alone all the time. We all need people. The activists, well, there might be some of you here. The activists love to meet God in the vortex of confrontation. They want to fight God's battles. Activists constitute the movers and shakers of the Christian community. They may take a political bent or adopt an evangelistic emphasis, but what marks them as an activist is that they feel most alive spiritually when they're in the midst of God's active, often confrontational work. That's when God seems most real, most imminent, and most exciting. They're about a cause. Now, the extreme is that their life is all about a cause. But there are some people that have a cause that we need as the Christian body to champion certain things that we don't always think about. One of my causes is about the persecuted church. That's dear to my heart. It's one of the things that I really care about. But I don't talk about it every Sunday. I don't think I do. I shouldn't. But I bring it up every once in a while because it's one of those things that I really need, that we could be active about. It means something to me. So maybe you're that kind of person that, oh, I'm passionate about that. Wow. Carrie and Joel, you're passionate about MDS. That's your passion. And probably when they're there, that's when they feel the most alive and closer to God, because they're serving others. Which leads us to the next one, the caregiver. Caregivers love God by loving others, providing care and meeting needs in Jesus' name spiritually energizes them and draws them ever closer to God. For caregivers, caregiving isn't an obligation as much as it's a threshold to intimacy with God. Caregiving extends beyond nursing sick people. It includes all kinds of things, helping people, fixing cars, building houses, or repairing things, or all kinds of things. The caregiver is often comforted by Jesus' words, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And some of you, it's all about the people. Now again, any one of these to an extreme isn't helpful. It's a blend, but some of you are just people. You just love being with people and encouraging people and helping people. You love being there, bringing a meal, bringing some cookies, just spending time sitting with people. That's what you love to do. The enthusiast loves excitement and celebration of their faith. They tend to be more relational and therefore favor group worship. They feed off excitement of other believers worshiping God. Enthusiasts often revel in God's mystery and supernatural power. They like to take spiritual risks and hoping that God will do something new and fresh. Where traditionalists are comforted by routine, the enthusiast wakes up hoping that God will move in a fresh way. The enthusiast is the kind of person, if you go to a larger church or a larger worship event, they're the ones who are near the front, jumping and dancing and yelling and screaming, and you're going, "What's with that person?" That's their spiritual temperament. They love those moments. They love to be loud for God. That's how they're wired. The contemplative. Contemplatives are marked by an emotional attachment and even abandonment to God. They are God lovers, not that the rest of us aren't, but they're God lovers, and they want to spend their time in God's presence, adoring Him, listening to Him, enjoying Him. Intellectuals, which I'll get to, want to understand new things about God. Activists want to fight God's battles, but contemplatives, similar to ascetics, want to just adore God and to know Him better. Contemplatives love to demonstrate their love for God through secret acts of devotion, giving gifts to God, like a gift of a poem or an anonymous act of charity. They favor the discipline of journal writing, where they can explore their heart's devotion. The contemplative, the intellectual, last one. In this context, intellectual doesn't mean smart, but rather a heart that is often awakened when they understand new concepts about God. Their minds are very active, and new intellectual understanding literally births affection. It creates respect for the Creator. It leads to worship. As they learn more, they love a good theology book. They love a commentary. They love learning all those things. But some may also have the curious minds in areas beyond the Bible. They love biology and astronomy and even physics. In grade 12, I took grade 11 physics, and I passed with a 49.65%. I was hoping to be an engineer. I think God realized. But for some of your minds that are the intellectual, you love exploring that kind of thing. You love learning, expanding your mind, and what that does is you look at that and go, instead of, like a lot of people will look at that and go, "Wow, this is a great world." They'll say, "That's amazing." And they'll look to God, and that causes them to go, "Wow, to God." Just as a naturalist can't wait to get outdoors, or the sensate is eager to visit the cathedral, or the ascetic scurries off into their inner world, so the intellectual seeks God in the pages of a book or an inspiring lecture, or vast ruminations of their minds and expand. You see yourself in any of these categories. Do you feel that you have to choose just one?
No, most of us are blends, if not all of us are blends.
And many of us will move in and out of certain temperaments as we age. The important thing is not to find the right label, but to understand how you best connect with God so that you can more deliberately and consciously cultivate an increasing affection for your Creator. God made you with a specific design. You will certainly bear similarities to certain other believers, but you will most celebrate the creative quality of God when you give yourself permission to seek in His face in a way that honors His creative design in you. I want us to love God. But I want us to open up our minds and open up our hearts and even open up our bodies in some cases to say, this is how I love to worship God. What we do Sunday morning is a little bit limited because we're called. God calls us to be together. And so for some of us here this morning, this is all I need. But for others, you're going, I need a little bit more. I need this. I want to do that. And then you can explore that beyond our walls in this morning. Not to exclude this morning, but to explore beyond. So I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes, because I don't want you to just walk out of here and go, oh, that was interesting. I want you to share a little bit, if you would. What do you think? And then I'll go to the application, and then Brandy will leave some closing song. All right? So take a couple of minutes. Talk about what you think might be your sacred pathway, your sacred temperament. Go.
Yeah.
as we talk about worshiping God, begin each day. If you need help with that, just begin each day. I love you, God. Thank you for loving me first. Just your first, before you put your feet out of the bed, or out right after you brush your teeth, or whatever your morning routine is. I love you, God. Thank you for loving me first. That's what it is. He loved us first. And then explore the nine pathways, considering a blend of two of them. And Noah had a really good idea, as he asked us near the end. As you look over the nine, which of them could you automatically stroke off as not you? That might help you to kind of narrow it down. You can look at one or two of them and go, no. And just stroke it off. Okay, that brings it down to seven and helps you to minimize it a little bit and to come to yours. And so I invite you to grab a sheet and take it home, and this week try to figure out. I want you to open up your horizons. I want you to open up your experience. I want you to open up your love and your worship of God, right? And then, as we did a little bit around the table, I want you to explore with someone else. Have a conversation with someone else this week about the nine pathways. And see and share with them and you and back and forth, just as we did, kind of, because sometimes for many of us, as we talk about something, then it helps us to get it out of our minds and to think it through what can work. All right. So those are the three application reflections. Go out and do something. Brandy, why don't you come on up and let's pray together. Father, thank you that you love us first, and you invite us to love you. You invite us to come. You want us to come to you. And I pray for us as a church. Would you help us to love you? Would you help us to learn? Would you help us to explore how we can love you more? Because we do love you, God. Lead us. Guide us. Bring us closer to you. As you invite us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.